Welcome back, America. Welcome back to the Sarah Carter Show. And I am coming to you from the beautiful state of Utah. I'm on vacation, but never on a complete vacation from our great listeners out there. And I'm so excited to be talking to you from this beautiful state today, because I want to introduce you to something that's very special and dear to my family and to veterans out there is Warrior Risen. It is a new 501c3 that my amazing stepdaughter, Erica Schlichty, and her family, the in-laws, John and Barbara, have built out here in Utah. And it is an amazing dude ranch for wounded veterans, their families, Gold Star families, to come out and experience like basically a week-long vacation where you work hard, you play hard, you learn to reconnect with your families, being out in the open in this beautiful, beautiful country. I mean, it truly is God's country out here, and spend time with their children and find a way to heal together, you know, and that's what this country is all about. It's about honoring those who have served their nation, this beautiful land, this constitution, our great nation, and all we've accomplished, and giving that back. And so we're the first family to experience the ranch at Warrior Risen. And it's been incredible. I've been posting as much as I can on my Instagram. That's at S Carter DC on Instagram. If you want to see some of the photos, some of the things that we've been doing out here, testing it out to make sure that we can provide the best for all of our veterans and their families. It's a beautiful lodge. I'll be posting pictures of that. It just got completed. It's been a 2-year process. We have an arena for horses, specialists that come out here and do training, working with veterans, an amazing cook, Andrew Schlichty, one of the brothers. He's a great chef, does outdoor ranch cooking, country cooking, which is absolutely incredible. By the way, the best salsa I have had yet anywhere is Andrew's, and all the other brothers, and the cattle, and rustling the cattle, and the chickens, and the kids go crazy over those chickens because they can just pick them up. Anyways, the reason I'm talking about this, before I get to Lieutenant General Michael Flynn and the great Sidney Powell and all the great news that has come out in the last few days, because justice, thankfully, has been served. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute, and why Michael Flynn won out, and why he continued to persevere and fight and had a great warrior in his corner, that Sidney Powell, the great defense attorney who did her job. But it's a win for America, folks. It's a win for America. And when I sit out here in Utah, you know, and I talk to folks, and they see what's happening in New York, in Chicago, in Washington, D.C., my hometown, Washington, D.C., and, you know, Virginia. And they see what's happening in California and the riots and, you know, leaders within these groups that are Marxists and people that want to change our national anthem, you know, basically remove the national anthem, burn the flag. They hate this beautiful nation. I don't know why. It gives them so much. They have so much. They have freedom, for one. Freedom and an opportunity to be anything you want to be in this country. Anything you want to be. You know, I remember an interview, and I'm not going to play a clip of this right now, but I will in a later podcast, but an interview with Morgan Freeman and Don Lemon, I think it was like 2013 or 14. And I was just looking at it the other day, and an actor, Morgan Freeman, was asked by Don Lemon about racism and whether or not, you know, he believes that African Americans, Black Americans, Hispanic Americans, minorities in general were held back. And Morgan Freeman said something that my mom used to say to me all the time. He said, but my mom didn't have that money. She was talking about the freedom. She didn't have the money of Morgan Freeman or that career. But Morgan Freeman said, Don, take a look at me. Look at you. We've achieved the American dream. People can do anything they want. They can be anything they want in this country. I don't believe that racism, which we know exists, it's out there, but it's not going to hold you back. Not if you want something bad enough. If you live your life the right way, if you work hard for what you need, sure, there's going to be bumps in the road. Sure, there's going to be bad people that you're going to run into. Just like Michael Flynn, just like, you know, I mean, there are going to be bad people that are going to want to harm you. But if you stay on the straight and narrow, you fight for what you want, you move ahead, you think positive, more than likely, as long as you have your health, you are going to be a success. You are going to make something out of your life. Don't let anyone ever take that away from you. But let me tell you this, what we're seeing now in our country, in those main cities and the news 24 hours a day, it makes my heart break. It's sickening. It's sickening. It's just so filled with hate and anger and hate for our country. What happened to after September 11th? Do you remember that? Do you remember when so many Americans were attacked? Remember the World Trade Center? Remember what happened at the Pentagon? Remember the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania? Remember how we treated each other after that? Remember how we held up our flag high and we said, no more, this is not going to happen to us? Remember when we actually believed in our country? Remember when we cared about one another? What has happened? What's happened with our children? That they hate this country so much, some of them, that they're out there tearing down statues for crying out loud of George Washington? You know? They don't even know what they're taking down anymore. I mean, it just makes me want to cry. You know, I'm out here. I talk to people in the shops, in the ranch stores. I talk to, you know, just the regular folks, right? People just trying to make a living. People out here who work on ranches, who work in insurance, who work at restaurants, who work on wherever. You know, they're cutting hair, they're doing nails, whatever. Just everyday jobs, everyday Americans. They don't even know what's going on. They are so frustrated, upset about what they're seeing their country turn into. Please, people, don't just sit back. We can't keep our mouths shut anymore. We need to fight for this country. And that means by example. You know, talking about all the great things that we have accomplished as a nation, reaching out to our soldiers and saying, thank you for serving. Thank you, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, for continuing to fight, for showing me that I can do that, that we can succeed, that we can overcome this. In fact, I was gonna play Christopher Wray first, but you know, Adam, if you could play the clip of Flynn when he called into Rush Limbaugh's show, I would love for you to play that clip because I think it pretty much sums up everything.
Miss Sidney Powell, who's been my terrific lawyer, she is the American guardian of justice. That's what she is, and she is somebody who you want in your corner, boy, when you're in the middle of a knife fight, which I have been in. So,
I call her
American guardian of justice.
You both prove that these people can be engaged and defeated. You both prove that pushing back on them can succeed.
Great. Yeah, it sure can.
Great lesson.
You got to find the right weaknesses, and, you know, we finally did. And that part of that was just the weakness was to shine light on truth. That's really what it came down to.
The weakness was to shine the light on truth. He couldn't have said it better. That's it, folks. It's the truth. That's the reason why for the last 4 years, I spent digging day after day for the truth and exposing it. You can't even imagine for those of us that did that, for those of us that did this, Congressman Devin Nunes, Jim Jordan, Doug Collins, John Ratcliffe, those are members of Congress, reporters, John Solomon, Chuck Ross, Molly Hemingway, others that are out there. I mean, there's so many, and I know I'm forgetting people. Sean Hannity, who every night gave a platform so we could tell the truth. Laura Ingraham, so we could tell the truth, because no one else was telling the truth. No one else was telling you the truth. They were lying to you, and they know they were lying to you. They know they were lying to you. And the sad thing is that lie permeated throughout our system, throughout all the mainstream media outlets overseas. They called our president, you know, a traitor, a Russian asset, a Manchurian candidate. They drug Lieutenant General Michael Flynn and his family through the mud. Through the mud. They didn't even care. They don't care, because you know all the swamp DC creatures care about is power. They don't care about you. They don't care how hard you work. They don't care about the fact that you come home at night, have to go to your mailbox and find the bills are piled up. They don't care. They don't care that 40 million Americans were out of jobs when they had to shut down from COVID. They saw that as an opportunity to defeat not only President Trump, but to own you. No, I'm sorry. That's unacceptable. That's not America. That's not this beautiful country that I see. Why isn't the news actually talking to regular Americans? Why are we always just focused on these crazies that are tearing down our cities? And by the way, I agree with President Donald Trump. We need to stop them. You do not tear up a city because you're pissed off. You don't come to my house and destroy it. We don't let that happen. These are our cities, our taxpayer dollars that go into making our cities beautiful and a place where our children can enjoy and go to a park, not to be hounded by these radicals who, by the way, are still asking for handouts from us, the hardworking Americans. Yeah, your taxpayer dollars, your dollars. That's what they want. They want to be able to use your taxpayer dollars while they espouse their left-wing radical ideas. Don't let them do it. Stand up. Fight back like Lieutenant General Michael Flynn in a productive way. In a productive way. Let people know what this nation means to you. Don't be ashamed to put an American flag outside your house. Don't be afraid to walk up to a soldier and say thank you for your service, no matter how old they are or young, even if they're just wearing their old Vietnam vet hat, even if you see an old World War II soldier that's still around on a wheelchair or whatever, go up and say thank you. Thank you for fighting for freedom and for our country. Thank you. Thank you. And I'm going to show you that they're liars, because I'm going to play a clip right now. Today we have a really special guest. By the way, I should have told you right up at the top of the show. It's Roger Stone. And by the way, he's another victim.
I was like, you know how appropriate our guest is for this? It's so great that we have Roger.
It's so great. I love Roger. They're going to try to send him to prison next week. This is insanity. Roger Stone, who they basically set up, Adam. They just set him up. And for all of you out there, every single one of you great Americans, this is your country. Your country. This government works for you. You do not work for them. Remember that. Remember that every time. That is why President Trump is saying no more. I'm not going to allow you to have a chop, a chaz, whatever the heck you want to call it, some autonomous zone where you can tear down our history, tear down our nation, espouse all these crazy ideas. You want to do it? Go ahead. Go to your classroom. Espouse it there. Give a speech. Be normal. Don't tear everything down like wild creatures in the night just ripping everything apart. It's not right. This is your home. Would you do that in your own house? Would you do that to your own family?
That's a good question. Like, I think that this is happening because there's not a lot of accountability behind it. Like, if there was a way, like if we had facial recognition, for example, and if we were all living in the movie Minority Report, and there was a way to say, like, if you're seen tearing down a statue, hey, we're not going to stop you, but you're going to pay for it. Do you think people would still do it?
Right? No, they wouldn't do it. No, they wouldn't do it. They're just being allowed to do it. Nobody would let their children walk in the house because they're mad that they can't go out or use the car that night and let their kids just tear up the house left and right. You know, nobody would say, oh, well, they're just blowing off some steam. I'm tired of this. You want to blow off some steam? Change laws. Go to school. Fight that way. Do it the legal way. Speak without destroying everything. This is my country. This is your country. This is where we live. This is where we raise our children. We need to take care of it. We need to nurture it. We need to protect it. And that's what we're going to do here at the Sarah Carter Show. And I'm going to play a clip right now. I want to play it really quick. It's Chris Ray. And this is Christopher Ray talking to Brett Baer. And, you know, early on in this long monologue that I've been talking to you about, you know, I'm here from Utah, talking to you here from Utah. So if it sounds a little different, I'm working on different equipment right now. But this is where there's proof that you were lied to by the Obama administration. By the way, those new notes from Peter Strzok absolutely show that President Obama and Vice President Biden were very well aware of what was going on, and they were part of this. What I'm going to say was a coup attempt against this president. Could you play that for me? This is Director Christopher Wray.
I will say that, of course, the Flynn investigation, which took place before I started, and then by the time I started was in the hands of the special counsel's office, is something that has, in my view, raised serious concerns and questions, which is why I ordered an after-action review by our inspection division to take a look at whether or not the FBI's policies and procedures need to be changed, and if there are any current employees left who may bear any responsibility for misconduct.
Wow. He just admitted it. He just admitted it. He's going to look for other FBI agents that may be still working there. You know what they're going to do, folks? Let me tell you something. This is how Washington operates. They try to take the people that are lowest on the rung, right? And then they make them pay the price. But none of the officials. What about James Comey? Director of the FBI. By the way, those notes that those Peter Strzok notes that were from January 2017, James Comey was in that meeting with Vice President Biden, with President Obama, with Susan Rice, with Sally Yates. And by the way, Vice President Biden brought up the fact that he was possibly behind the Logan Act. Remember that whole thing? They were going to prosecute him for this antiquated 1800s law that nobody uses about influencing, working with a foreign country to influence. It was all a bunch of junk. It was a bunch of lies. People, it was a bunch of lies. But look at what he's saying. Christopher Wray, who, by the way, withheld information, too, that Judicial Watch was looking for, that others were asking for. He hid that. He didn't want to turn that over. He was protecting the bureaucracy. That's what they do, protecting their friends. Friends like former FBI director, fired FBI director James Comey. But now what they're going to do is they're going to, you know, try to find people like Kevin Kleinsmith, the guy that altered the FISA. He should be prosecuted, by the way, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act warrant on Carter Page. That guy. And then they're going to go after, Joe Pianca. He was the special, agent with the FBI that questioned Mike Flynn in the case with Peter Strzok at the White House that January 2017. They're going to go after him. But will they go after Andy McCabe, the former deputy director, or Comey, or Bill Priestip? Let's see. Let's see if they do. Let's see if justice really is served. Let's see if that's the truth. I'm going to play a clip here before I get to Roger Stone. And this is Congressman Jim Jordan, somebody I think is remarkable and somebody that I think has done an incredible job over the years in exposing all the lies and the truth. And before we get to Roger Stone, I think this statement from Jim Jordan is very important. You need to listen to it.
What they did is so fundamentally wrong. I love what Emmett Flood wrote a year ago when the Mueller report came out. Emmett Flood talked about, he said, we would all do well to remember if they can do this to a president of the United States, and I would add, if they can do this to a three-star general like General Flynn, imagine what they can do to you and I. Or more importantly, imagine what they can do to the 750,000 people I get the privilege of representing in the 4th District of Ohio. That's why what General Flynn said today on Rush Limbaugh's show is so important. He said, this is a win for the country. This is a win for getting back to the rule of law. This is a win for holding people in high positions like Jim Comey, Andy McCabe, the top people in our intelligence community, the top people in the FBI. This is a win for holding them accountable and having them follow the rules, which Comey didn't, and to follow the law.
Wow. If it can happen to them, it can happen to you. And it can. And it has. Because this was not their first rodeo. I can guarantee you that those people that are now fired from the FBI and those people that are currently under investigation in both the FBI and the Justice Department because of this, under investigation by John Durham, who was appointed by Justice Department Attorney General William Barr, those people have done it before. They did not just try this out on President Trump or Michael Flynn. They didn't just get sloppy by accident. They got sloppy because no one's ever questioned them before, because they were above the law. But I guarantee you that they have done this before. And I guarantee you, if we don't fix it, if we don't indict, if we don't stand up for justice, they will do it again. I don't think I need to make a big introduction here because almost everyone knows Roger Stone. And Roger Stone is a close friend of President Trump. He was wrapped up in the middle of this, mess, this Russia hoax mess. His family and his life was turned upside down by former special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation. He's been an advisor to numerous presidents. He is a smart businessman and, like I said, a longtime friend of President Donald Trump. And I'm so grateful to have this exclusive interview with him right now. Thank you, Roger, for being on the show. Roger, thank you so much for being back on the Sarah Carter Show. I appreciate it. I like I've told everyone, I'm here in Utah, and what I'm watching unfold here with your case is truly stunning. We just played a clip of Jim Jordan talking about what happened to Lieutenant General Michael Flynn and others like you, saying, look, if it can happen to them, it can happen to you. So thank you for being here. Thank you for talking to the American people, and thank you for never giving up the fight.
Well, Sarah, thank you very much for having me. The response to our last podcast together was phenomenal, nothing short of phenomenal. You know, we're getting to the point where it's very difficult for me to get the truth out there. We have a new journalistic rule in which the New York Times, the Washington Post, the networks other than ABC, they now write anything they want about me or report anything they want about me, true or false, but they no longer even give you the respect of calling to respond. So I read things, I see things every day that are just patently, demonstrably, indisputably, provably untrue, but they just go with it because they figure you're down and out. There's no way for you to come back.
Kind of like kick them when you're down, right? Kick them when they're down.
Very much so. And there's a lot of people who don't really understand where things are at this moment. So when they read a Washington Post story a couple of days ago that the Department of Justice did not oppose an extension in my surrender date, which is next Tuesday, June 30th, they just assumed that meant it was done and that I wasn't in crisis mode. And that's not the case because the Justice Department doesn't make this decision. Judge Amy Berman Jackson makes this decision. Because I was shocked to learn about a week ago that the Attorney General's directives to the U.S. Bureau of Prisons that mandated that nonviolent convicts be moved from incarceration in prison to home confinement does not apply to me.
Why? What is going on here?
You don't get a reason. They just say, because we say so and because we can do whatever we want, that's why. So
but
Michael Avenatti.
Wait, but you're in the high risk category, right?
Yes.
And you are somebody that could be susceptible to COVID-19. They've been screaming at this for weeks now, since the protests have died down. Now it's back to the COVID. But now explain how Michael Avenatti and all these other folks are out of prison while they're planning on sending you in.
It's really extraordinary. So Michael Cohen, who was the convicted, you know, who pled to tax evasion and other crimes and then became an anti-Trump witness for Mueller, he's been sprung on home confinement. Rick Gates, who Manafort's ex-partner, lied at my trial under oath. That'll come out in appeal if I live that long. He has been sprung on home confinement, but at 67 years old, with a history of asthma and a few other underlying health issues, they have told me that I must report to a prison in Jessup, Georgia, next Tuesday, no later than noon. I filed an emergency motion with Judge Amy Berman Jackson, who is the judge who, as you know, presided over my trial and who showed great hostility to me, who attacked me personally in her closing sentencing remarks, a 55-minute tirade in which she said, among other things, there was nothing phony about the Mueller investigation. Wrong. You were convicted of lying to cover up for Donald Trump. That is not what I was charged with or what I was convicted of. She attacked me for being belligerent, but by law, she's not supposed to pay attention to anything outside the courtroom other than what's before her. And I never testified. So where was I belligerent? My belligerence, Sarah, was in not pleading guilty. That was my belligerence. It is just extraordinary. So anyway, we have this motion pending. Based on her public orders since that time, she demanded that the Department of Justice explain themselves. Why are they not opposing Stone's motion? But based on any criteria, at a time when the Bureau of Prisons is still releasing violent felons, rapists, murderers, it is so important to incarcerate me when I have no previous criminal record and I'm not convicted of any violent crimes? First of all, I'm wrongly convicted to begin with. Based on any criteria, I did not receive a fair trial. The judge was not unbiased. She showed her bias at every turn. Now, here's a little factoid that most people don't know. At the beginning of my trial, even before we began, the government put forward a motion prohibiting me from raising the question of misconduct by the FBI, the DOJ, the special counsel, or any member of Congress, Adam Schiff. And the judge approved that. She denied me that right. Now, that is completely unconstitutional. It's settled law. Under Kyles v. Whitney, I'm entitled to mount any reasonable defense I wish, and the integrity of the investigation and the prosecution is always a legitimate issue to raise in defense.
But
I was prohibited to do that. Now, if you go back and think about it, why would they want to cover up their own conduct? Because they knew they were dirty. That's why.
Well, and we played a clip with Christopher Wray exposing the fact that he even admitted that there was dirty deeds going on inside the FBI against the Trump administration during the entire Russia hoax investigation against Michael Flynn. We know it's been about you, too. And they're not just going after you, Roger. They're going after the attorney general now. They want William Barr. They want this DOJ. I'm going to play a clip. This is Aaron Zelinsky. He's a former prosecutor against you. You know him very well, Roger. I'm going to get your take on him in a minute. But I want you to hear what he had to say at the hearing.
What I saw was that Roger Stone was being treated differently from every other defendant. He received breaks that are, in my experience, unheard of. And all the more so for a defendant in his circumstances. A defendant who lied to Congress, who remained unrepentant, and who made threats against a judge and a witness in his case.
I want to tell you something before I go to Roger.
Right.
This guy has been described as a DC swamp rat. He is political. He is lying. In fact, if you just look at what happened to Roger Stone, not just what you just told everyone, that you're going to be sentenced, but that they are going to put you in jail next week despite COVID. But what happened to you with CNN? Let's just remind everybody of how they treated you on the day of the raid.
I want to deconstruct what this guy just said because it's very important. First of all, in his career, he spent more time working at the State Department for Hillary Clinton than he has spent as a federal prosecutor. So do not describe him as a non-political career line prosecutor. That's not who he is. He used to be a columnist for the Huffington Post. Need I say more? He also is a thug and a bully who threatened and bullied witnesses in my case. Threatened a number of lawyers and threatened a number of witnesses if they didn't say what he wanted them to say. He also suborned perjury in the case of Steve Bannon, where he knew that there was contradictory under oath testimony by Bannon that completely contradicted what he said on the stand in my case, which was quite damning. But he sought to cover that up. There's a number of misconduct charges against him that I will ultimately file, but let's go through what he said. Stone received special treatment. Boy, he's absolutely right about that. When 29 FBI agents show up at your home, heavily armed, and wake you to looking down the barrel of a gun to drag you and your wife out in the middle of the street to display you for the CNN cameras, that is most definitely very special. It's also a felony because they executed a search warrant at the same time they executed my arrest warrant, and the leaking of the plans to deliver a search warrant is specifically a felony. Mr. Ray's FBI will not turn over their chain of emails with CNN in the days and the weeks prior to my arrest. What are they covering up? Thank God for the people at Judicial Watch who are suing to get that material.
Right.
No, but I was treated specially in other ways, Sarah. Comey, Clinton, Brennan, Clapper, McCabe, Strzok, Page, Rosenstein, Mueller himself, Hillary. They all lied to Congress under oath, but they lied about material matters. I made misstatements about immaterial matters where there was no intent or motive to lie because they were covering up and hiding no illegal activity. So that's to begin with. Threatened a federal judge. I'm really glad to get into that. I posted an image on Instagram that was created by an organization called Corruption Central. They had in the upper left-hand corner the watermarked, trademarked logo for their organization. It is not, according to the man who created it, in any way based on a crosshairs. If you look at their images that they created of Mark Zuckerberg, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris, just to example three, the same logo appears in the same place. But because some reporter at BuzzFeed, who has never held a rifle in their hands in their life, decides that this is a crosshairs, there is a media feeding frenzy that by the end of the day, it becomes a fact that Roger Stone posted a graphic of Judge Amy Berman Jackson with a rifle crosshairs over her face. Now, when I was dragged to Washington and put on the stand to explain that, I said, I'm going to quote myself, I apologize to the court. It was right. I apologize specifically for posting an image that was subject to misinterpretation. I never intended to threaten anyone. I was not charged with threatening a federal judge. I was not convicted of it. If Zelensky says it again, I'm going to have to sue him because I can only be maligned so much. That is demonstrably not true. Now, they did, after this incident, they dragged three young men who were working for me as interns to help me in my defense to Washington, put them in front of the grand jury and browbeat them to try to get one of them to say that they overheard me saying I was going to kill Judge Jackson, and none of them were willing to lie because it wasn't true. Now, I should have looked at the image more carefully. I agree with that, but it was definitively not a crosshairs. I denied it under oath. If they could have proved it, they would have charged me with it, but they used it again and again to malign me, and they used it in their phony sentencing memo. Let me give you another example. I published a book called The Myth of Russian Collusion. It is critical of the Mueller investigation. Its publication date was February 9th. Gag order on me was placed on me by Judge Jackson on February 12th. Ergo, it did not violate the gag order, but that's not what it says in their phony sentencing memo. They want to give me extra time in prison for threatening a federal judge, which they cannot prove because it never happened. I just explained it, I think, pretty well. And they wanted to give me extra time for writing a book critical of Mueller. This is outrageous. And in the same sentencing memo that he's attempting to defend, they accuse me yet again of involvement in, quote, aiding the foreign interference of our election, which I was not charged with, which I was not convicted of, and which I had no involvement of.
Roger. So
Aaron Zelinsky is a partisan hitman. He's a smart ass. He's a bully. He's a thug. And yesterday's performance was an extraordinary example of hearsay. He wouldn't tell you who it was who told him that the attorney general and the acting U.S. attorney in D.C. were being pressured by the White House. He heard it from somebody who heard it from somebody who heard it. That's hearsay. That's not admissible. That's a joke. By the way, isn't it funny that he wouldn't come to the hearing because of the dangers of COVID? He had to do it by Skype from a half mile away. Yet he wants to send me to a prison that is, potentially a hotbed of COVID-19.
Really, yeah, I was going to ask you about that because he did do the interview via, via internet, via Skype or however he chose to do it. But he wouldn't go in and testify because of COVID. Another really interesting fact was discovered in that hearing. It was under questioning by Congressman Doug Collins when he really pounded him and brought about the fact that Aaron Zelinsky had actually applied for a job with the Democrats on the committee. So he was tied into Adam Schiff. He had applied for a job with the Democrats. He had admitted to that. He had to because he was under oath. So this is what people don't realize is that this D.C. swamp, this is really messy. All these people know each other. All these people connect to one another. And I want to go right now because you brought something up that's important. All the people that were targeted, of course, by Robert Mueller were the people that were closest to President Trump. You got Michael Flynn, Paul Manafort, or anybody that they could make a connection with that was close to Trump that they felt they could bring a case against. This was really targeting the president. You've been a friend of the president for quite a long time. And, you had advised him early on. You even advised him early on, thought that he would be a great president, what do you think's going on here? As the president, have you had a chance to reach out to the White House? Do you believe that the president can or will pardon you so you don't have to go to prison? Is that what you're hoping for? What is it that you would like to see happen? Because in all reality, I don't think any of you would have been targeted had it not been for President Trump.
Well, in my case, I really didn't break the law either. So this is a complete political setup. Look, I have not had any conversations with the president. I certainly have not been promised or assured of anything. I've been very forthright about the fact that assuming Judge Jackson rules against my extension, which I believe she will, sometime in the next 48 hours, the only thing between me and a federal prison is Donald Trump. And I would pray that he would consider a commutation of my sentence that will allow my appeal to go forward, because, Sarah, I will win on appeal based on the misconduct of both the judge and the jury forewoman in my case and the prosecution. But that could take a year and $1 million. If I'm in prison and subjected to COVID at my age, I won't be alive for the appeal. So I would say that I would appeal to the president through this podcast on humanitarian grounds as an act of mercy. In all fairness, I should not be subjected to prison when others who have really broken the law are being sprung. Secondarily, you hit it right on the head. The whole purpose of the prosecution of Roger Stone was to offer me a deal that if I would confirm the false allegations by Michael Cohen and Rick Gates that they overheard Donald Trump and I speaking about the timing of the WikiLeaks releases, both of whom said that in public, both of whom have no corroboration or proof of that whatsoever, and I was not charged with that. But the president has denied it in his written answers to Mueller, and I denied it under oath in front of the House Intelligence Committee. And by the way, I was there voluntarily, not under a subpoena, because it is not true. And had I been willing to roll over on the president, they were willing to offer me a recommendation to the judge of no jail time, which, of course, there'd be no guarantee that she would accept. And I would be a traitor to the truth and a traitor to a man who I have great respect and for who I've known for 40 years and who I still think is the right man to lead this country. He did things that they said were impossible. We were being told that our structurally our economy could never come back. We just had to accept our minor piece, a bit part in the global economy, and accept that America was never going to be the greatest country in the world again. And he would not accept that. And yes, Obama, he did wave a magic wand. It's called tax reduction and regulation reduction. And we had the greatest job boom in American history. We had the greatest wage growth in American history. We had the lowest unemployment rates in every category in American history, African Americans, Hispanic Americans, women, and so on. Now, the man who did that once is the same man who knows how to do it again. But the prescription Joe Biden and the lefty crazed socialist Democrats for America will plunge this country into 1,000 years of darkness if we even survive as a republic.
Right. So, and that's what I want to ask you, because before we get off this podcast, Roger, I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. But I want to ask you, how frightening is what's happening now? You have been around a long time. You have worked with a number of administrations. You have been an advisor. And you're looking now at what's happening in this country. How frightening is it, what's happened here, what's happened to you in this administration, which I believe was an attempted coup, to stop this Americans from electing President Trump in the beginning, and then an attempted coup? What's going through your mind? Is it really as bad as it seems?
I think it's actually worse. First of all, the mainstream media, they were always tilted to the left, but I've never seen the kind of crazed, hateful insanity that I see today, in which the New York Times puts things on page one that are simply not true, that are simply contrived, made up, fake. There's a special on me Sunday night at CNN. Jake Tapper wants to make absolutely sure that there's no chance that the president, in an act of mercy, commutes my sentence. So there'll be another smear job. These are the people who showed up at my house at 6 o'clock in the morning I was arrested, and dragged out of the house like I was some kind of drug kingpin. When Sarah, I was charged with nonviolent process crimes, white collar process crimes. They acted like I was a gangster. Look, just because sometimes I dress like a gangster doesn't mean I am a gangster. these people, and then secondarily, you hear Jerry Nadler prattling on about the rule of law. Really, the people who had Loretta Lynch fix Hillary Clinton's indictment in the fake email scam, the woman who prosecuted me, Jeannie Rhee, headed my prosecution within the Mueller operation. She was Hillary Clinton's chief lawyer in the missing email case. She's the one who lied to a federal judge about whether they had turned over all the emails. Who is she to indict me for lying? She lied about something important in court. I made misstatements that were completely irrelevant and immaterial. They hid no underlying crime. This was a hit job to pressure me to roll over on Donald Trump, which I refused to do.
Do you believe that when people say the deep state, do you believe that really exists in the way people think of it?
Look, the mistake that I think we sometimes make and our supporters sometimes make is we see things in terms of Republican and Democrat. That is not the way to look at it. This is a circle of insiders who are both Republicans and Democrats. This is the elite of both parties, the status quo, versus an outsider like Donald Trump, who they have no leverage on because nobody owns him, nobody controls him, nobody can pressure him. He answers to no one but the American people. He's the first president in my lifetime, and I've lived under some great presidents, Dwight Eisenhower, Richard Nixon, and Ronald Reagan, but he's the first president in my lifetime who got there owing no one, not Wall Street, not the oil and gas industry, not the insurance industry, not the banking industry, not the military industrial complex, not the defense contractors. Nobody tells Donald Trump what to do, what to say, where to go, and how to do it. And that's what's so refreshing about him. That's what's so honest about him. He's real. He's genuine. He only cares about doing a good job for the American people and getting out of there. This job has cost him and his family billions of dollars. Look what's happened to his net worth since he took this job. And he does it without complaining. The tsunami of invective and hate and falsity that rains on him every single day, and he just keeps on ticking. He's an inspiration because I'm someone looking at a deep state death sentence. I mean, I have 3.5 days of freedom ahead. It is daunting. My wife, she can't bear this anymore. My greatest fear, frankly, is if I am incarcerated separated. My wife is 73 years old. She is deaf and she is suffering badly from rheumatoid arthritis. I lost all my health insurance. I cannot pay her medical expenses anymore. I'm indigent. I've lost my home, my savings, my insurance, one of my two cars. I've lost my ability to make a living because I spent all of my time trying to defend myself. How will I survive? But more importantly, how will she survive? The state will feed me. Who will feed her? Who will pay her medical bills? It's so daunting. It's so overwhelming. It's so soul crushing that if I did not have my reacquaintance and my reaffirmation in my belief in Jesus Christ and the fact that I firmly believe at the end of the day that God will protect me, that God will walk with me, that God is with me in this struggle, and that for some reason, Sarah, I've been put in this place and this time by him for some reason. There's some purpose that he has for me, and I hope that I can live up to it.
I believe that too, Roger. I always believe that there is something greater than ourselves, that our faith keeps us strong. And, you know, listening to your story and just over the last 4 years, dealing with all the people just like you. I mean, we know now with Flynn, thankfully, that's turned around for him. I know that for you, you have that deep-seated faith. I will make sure to get this message out there. I think, you know, every American that's listening to you right now can understand how terrifying and how daunting the situation is for you. And just knowing that there are people out there that are still supporting you, praying for you and your family, that's got to give you some solace. And it's tough. It's really tough what we're seeing happen to our country. I want to give you the very last word here, Roger, before I have to let you go. But I really appreciate the time you've given me on this show. I hope that when Tuesday comes, you are still with us and that you can come back on the show next week. That is my hope. And if there's anything you'd like to say to the listeners out there, because look, if it can happen to you, it can happen to any one of us.
Well, Sarah, I appreciate that. Look, this is going to be up to the president, in my opinion. I believe that Judge Jackson will rule against me. I believe that the only person at that juncture who can save me is the president through an act of clemency, either a commutation of my sentence, which would be fine, or perhaps a pardon. But, either one works for me. I'm happy to fight this out in my appeal. People who want to help me, there's two places they can go, really three. If you want to sign a petition to the president, you can go to freerogerstone.com, a petition for clemency. If you want to help me pay the $2 million in costs I've had so far in my legal defense, you can go to stonedefensefund.com. If you want to help me and my family survive, I can't make a living. I'm struggling to pay the rent and for groceries and gasoline. You can go to stonefamilyfund.com. 65,000 great Americans have stepped forward to help me finance this epic struggle for freedom against the deep state. At the end of the day, I think it's going to be in the president's lap that he is the only one who can save me. And I'm just praying fervently that he will do the right thing. Based on his tweets, he knows that I've been subjected to a miscarriage of justice. He knows that there was jury corruption and the bias of the judge in my case. He knows the judge attacked him repeatedly in her sentencing remarks in this diatribe at the end of my trial. So to the extent that people can, please, Mr. President, I'm going to need your help. I am praying fervently for it. I think at the end of the day, I'm praying the president will do the right thing.
Thank you so much, Roger. Thank you for being on the show. I'm sure the president has heard you loud and clear. And I wish you Godspeed, my friend. And I have a feeling that I will be talking to you again next week. And I know the rest of the country is pulling for you and understands what you've been through. So thank you for being on the Sarah Carter Show today.
Thank you, Sarah, and God bless you.
Again, if it can happen to Roger Stone, to Michael Flynn, to everybody that was in the circumference of President Trump. It can happen to you. Look, they lied. They went after the president based on completely false allegations. There was never any truth to any of this. The president was never an asset of Russia. That's how it all started. Remember the whole Christopher Steele mess, the whole lie in this foreign, former MI6 British intelligence agent's dossier. All a pile of lies paid for by Hillary Clinton and her cronies, right? And the people that worked for her. President Trump. President Trump, if you're listening to this, and I know you heard your good friend Roger Stone basically beg you for a commutation or a pardon, you understand more than anybody, sir, what has happened here. Your family has been put through this. Our country has been put through this, through their lies for 4 years, playing these games with our nation. It is wrong, it's unacceptable, and it's not justice. We saw justice served somewhat, sir, with what's happened now with Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, who I have had respect for ever since I met him years ago when he was the J2 at the Pentagon. And thank God, Sidney Powell was able to fight for him. And now the truth is out there. And now the appellate court basically has said, drop the charges. But sir, Roger Stone, he is old. He is old. He is worried about his wife. They went after him like he was a terrorist or some kind of drug cartel leader. It was horrific what has happened to him and his family. I hope that you're listening to this and you're listening to what he is asking you for. I think that's important. I think it's important for the American people to be able to move forward, to know that people inside what I guess everyone is just saying is the deep state that really exists, this bureaucracy that exists both with, look, what Roger said is true, the rhinos and the liberals, right? They're together. They're all in one. They are the establishment. And by the way, folks, they hate those who voted for President Trump. It's not just about hating President Trump. It's about the true hate for those who voted for him, the American people. That's what this is about. They want control back. They want their power back. And it's up to you and me and the rest of us who stand for freedom, who stand for the Constitution, who stand for this presidency to say no more. We are not going to allow that to happen. You cannot do this. You will not win this fight. No, you will not win this fight. Thank you so much, America, for being with me at the Sarah Carter Show. I know you're out there. I know you're listening. I'm talking to you from the great state of Utah, and I hope to bring you back here and talk to you about this great 501c3 foundation, Warrior Risen. We are here for our veterans. We are here for our veterans' families, and we love you. Thank you so much, and God bless.